Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I take my main text from Amos 4 and 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereon it rained not withered. I want to talk about rain without rain. There are those who have given themselves to self-government, to selfish desires, to the whims and wishes of their own human will, and they go according to what I call the triumvirate of sin, which is pride of life, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes. They give in to the indulgences of these things. They have no regard for the things of God. They have no respect for a man of God. They have no desire for spiritual authority in their lives, and yet they still want to have prosperity. They still want to have some kind of purpose in their life, yet they want to be in charge of it themselves. They don't want to bend their knee. They don't want to prostrate their will. They don't want to submit to a higher power, but they want the benefits of things as if they were in submission to spiritual authority. But you can't have it both ways. You can't rule yourself and have the outpouring of God's omnipotence in your life. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I want you to notice there is no exception to the rule. There's not somebody who becomes the anomaly that can avoid the apostasy of this text. He said, no man can serve two masters. It is absolutely impossible to desire truth and give in to the temptations of evil. You can't be greedy for the things of the world and also desire the things of God at the same time. You have to give in to one of these appetites, one of these affections. They're going to win. And so when somebody who is full of sin and iniquity and transgression is wanting to have self-rule, they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They want to be independent of any kind of religious conviction. They want to be self-ruled and self-contained. Then God will let you be that way. But you're not going to be able to serve him, because in order for him to be master of your life, you're going to have to submit to him. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn away from the route of rebellion. It was this spirit of urgency that was on Joshua in Joshua 24 and 15 when he confronted the people of his day and stood before them with a passionate plea. And he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is making it clear that he is not going to be a self-governed man, independent of God, in the promised land, reaping the prosperous benefits that will come from the Lord. He realizes that his blessings are going to be in serving the Lord, not swerving from the Lord. And this was something Apostle Paul dealt with in 1 Timothy to his son in the gospel when he was warning him that there would be persuasive Judaizers that would come in among the flock. And he described them in 1 Timothy 6 or 1 and 6 and 7. He said, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So these people, they were taking the off-ramp of error. They had a map, they had directions, they were headed in that direction, and they were quite persuasive about what would be seen in that direction. But ultimately, if it's the wrong direction, then you end up at the wrong destination. And if you end up at the wrong destination, then the end is destruction. It's like getting on the wrong bus heading south when you meaning to go north. The seats on the bus are the same. The driver has the same uniform on. The color and the design of the bus is the same, but the destination is different. My friend, you cannot be fooled by an independent spirit. You cannot be fooled by a self-rule attitude. You cannot be fooled by the sin tolerance culture of this generation that tells you that you can do what you want to do when you want to do it, and you're still going to have success. You're still going to have prosperity in everything that you do because you are your own person. No, friend, we cannot be our own person. That does not fit in the economy of the kingdom of God. We must be submitted to His sovereignty. Then He will release the supernatural to work on our behalf. The blessing comes in serving the Lord. The blessing comes in binding ourselves to the Word of God and saying, you know what, I don't care what comes or goes. I am not going to be detached from this. I'm not going to let anybody disconnect me from my dependence on the will of God and the Word of God and the working of the Spirit of God in my life. You see, my friend, there is always a contingency in the covenants of God. You don't just get to reap the benefits and refuse repentance. You don't just get to have the harvest and not plant the seed of obedience. We must be in complete submission to His spiritual authority. And this was something that even Samuel was describing to Israel in 1 Samuel 7 and 3 in a time when the Philistines were encroaching on their territory, attacking them and oppressing them. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So deliverance was promised, but it was in a demand and requirement of repentance. My friend, living a surrendered life to God is not a drudgery. It's not a disappointment. It's not going to leave you depressed and in despair. Rather, it's going to bring you out of darkness into marvelous light. It's going to set you free from the prisons of past. It's going to set you free from the condemning forces of this hour. It is not a sign of weakness to serve the Lord. It is rather a sign of strength. It shows true Christian discipline. Don't give in to the easy believism of this hour that we think the modern day Balaams and Ashtaroths can be served during the week and we can worship the Lord on the weekend. That's an absolute error of the Word of God. You've got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if there ever was an hour to be totally committed, to be sold out, to buy the truth and sell it not, it's now. Because just like Hamas is attacking Israel, and just like terrorists want to instill fear and intimidation, and just how these forces of darkness and wickedness in the Middle East want to turn Israel into a caliphate, the enemy of your soul wants you to think that you can have peace with the temptations of this world and still have truth. But that's a lie. These are the forms of spiritual Hamas that will attack you without warning, and they'll pull you down into the snares of iniquity and make you think that living in lawlessness is okay. But then all of a sudden, you're serving devils. And rather than being a disciple that's serving God, and I'm telling somebody today, don't refuse repentance. Don't turn your back on God. Bend your knees before the Lord. Find that altar of repentance and seek His face while He may be found. In Ezekiel 20, there is a contrast of the millennial reign of Christ to come compared to the idolatries and disobedience of Israel's past. In Ezekiel 20 and 39, he said, as for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one of his idols. And hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Now, this is what is startling to me, because there are people that are running around with the gifts of the Spirit, but they have no character, they have no conviction, they have no moral boundaries. They sleep around and live a filthy lifestyle. They're just stage performers. And when the curtain is drawn and the spotlight is off, they go back to their dark deeds and they live in hypocrisy and they pollute the name of the Lord. That's why in Matthew 7, he said, there's going to be many come to me saying, haven't we cast out devils in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you, because God is not as much concerned about our gifts as he is our fruits. It's the fruits of the Spirit that reveal character. The gifts of the Spirit, that releases the power of God. That releases the demonstration of the Spirit and allows us to be vessels to be used in that regard. But my friend, there are people who have plenty of gifts, and yet they are worshiping the idols of money and greed and what they want to call prosperity of the gospel, and it's nothing but the avarice of the flesh. It's nothing but a carnal interpretation so that they can fill their own wallets, and they've become charlatans that can stand on a stage and show up on a television screen and fool many. But they're not fooling God, because they're polluting his name. And polluting his name and profaning his name is the opposite of holiness. Holiness is to set apart. It's the opposite of something that is common. It is opposite of something that is profaned. And so, my friend, I want the reign of the Holy Ghost. I want the outpouring of the Spirit. I want the mighty deluge of the divine intervention that shows up in our services and brings the miracles of God and turns the sinner's hearts away from the unholy and the ungodly and away from the addictions and affections of sin in this world that has bound them for so long. Yes, we want the gifts of the Spirit, but we also have to have the fruits of the Spirit. We have to make holy the name of the Lord. We cannot pollute the promises of God by acting like we're saved and living in sin, by acting like we're a representative of Christ and living like a heathen. We cannot enforce the promises and powers of the Spirit and the purity of the name which is above every other name, and yet have self-rule and have no accountability to the Word of God and have no purity. In fact, the Bible says in John 15, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. So how can we claim to have the word of God? How can some claim to be using and performing and operating in the word of God and they have nothing but the filthiness of the flesh to show for it? This is why 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We must get rid of the infections of sinfulness and come back to an affection for the things of God. Because that affection for the things of God is what creates our appetite for the holiness of God. We want to treat the Word of God with sacredness. We want to handle the Word of God with pure and clean hands, because we are representing the truth and representing the Word of God. Now, this is not a pharisaical stance that you can't make mistakes and that you've got to be absolutely 100% perfect. I think we understand the difference between striving for perfection and just living a life of self-rule and rebellion and disobedience, and think that we are still able to have the claims of a disciple. We need to make sure that we don't promote the name of Jesus in our spirit and with our words, and then we pollute the name of Jesus in our flesh and with our actions. It's simply bringing these two together to understand that God wants to bless his people. God wants to give strength to those that are weak. So in this text, starting at Amos 4:1, the Bible said, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, Bring, and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. Now, anytime you see these hooks, it's talking about going into deportation and going into enslavement. There's a higher power, there's a stronger force that is going to rule over you. So think about this. Here they are wanting to do what they want to do. They are more interested in getting drunk and being intoxicated and having their masters provide them with more of a sensual good time than they are doing the moral things that demanded compassion and to help those that were less fortunate than them around them. These rich folks were only concerned about themselves. And yet, in the very end, while they think they are ruling themselves, it's the Lord that says, no, somebody else is going to come in, and they're going to take you by hooks, and they're going to lead you somewhere else. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. So basically, the Lord is telling them, you know what you ought to do. You have offerings and sacrifices in place. You have the three-year offering for the poor in place. There are procedures and biblical demands and righteousness that can be evidenced in their actions, and yet they would turn away from God. And he's saying if they would do what was right. In verse 6 he said, And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So things go from being well to now they're not so good, and yet instead of repenting, instead of turning back to God, they double down on their degradation and they continue in the way of self-rule. And then we get this verse, I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. I have caused it to rain upon one city and not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereon it rained not, it withered. So now in one place you have a city of rain, blessings poured out, mists of truth, downpours of revelation. But in other cities, they wither in false doctrine. They live in the drought of human commentary. They dwell in fruitless lands of rebellion. They rule themselves, but without rain. So they reign without rain. They possess themselves, but they are slaves to scarcity. They march to their own tune, but their melody has no manifestation. Their songs become the songs of mourning and empty fields. My friend, I want to encourage somebody today that you cannot just live off of the spiritual experiences. You must follow that up with some spiritual establishment. You've got to have foundation in your life. You have to have principles of truth that you live by. You have to have some boundaries, some standards, some parameters that keep the blessings of God in your life. It's okay to have walls. In fact, Isaiah 40 tells us that his walls are salvation and his gates are praise. And so we need some spiritual barricades in our life that block out the temptations, that block out the sin and the error, that block out the transgression and the human willfulness to rebel against the things of God, that block out the lawlessness and the spirit of iniquity that would want to reign in our bodies and cause us to miss the presence of God and the outpouring of the blessings of God in our lives. And so, yes, you've got to have establishment. In order for the rain to come, this scripture is telling us there's got to be some righteousness. There's got to be some repentance. There has to be a heart turn toward God. So again, it's not that you have to be perfect, but you have to be striving for the things that are perfect. Jesus is perfect. Our Almighty God is perfect, in whom there is no shadow or variableness of turning. Which means, my friend, that there is no error in God. There is no need for repentance in God. He is 100% truth. He's not like even the bacterial or antibacterial soap that we buy that will give you the disclaimer that it cleans away bacteria 99.9% of the time. Well, that's pretty accurate, but God's not just 99.99% right. He's 100% accurate. We serve a perfect, powerful, pure, and a God that is motivated to bless us. So you don't have to be perfect, and I don't have to be perfect, but we do have to serve a perfect God, and we have to seek after Him, and we have to stay on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so you may have had an incredible touch from God this past weekend, but what are you doing today to ensure that? You may have received an incredible promise from the Lord that made you cheer and put a smile on your face for 3 or 4 days. But when the dark clouds come in and that old depressing enemy shows up and wants to trigger those old habits, what are you going to do to resist him? You can't just have experience. You have to have some establishment. You got to have some root in your faith. You got to have some anchor in your soul. You have to have some stickability, some durability, some faithfulness to go with your faith, some discipline to go with those good feelings that we get from God. This is why the scripture shows us those who are full of rebellion and self-rule and won't submit their will to God. No, they do it their own way. Jude 1 and 11 through 13 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, and here it is, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And so, my friend, this is rain without rain. It can look pretty. It can have cloud covering. It can make you think that the heavens are going to get black and they're going to be this torrential downpour and there's going to be this great move of God, and yet there is nothing but a way of corruption and that which is going after error and that which perishes in the gainsaying. Why would you want to go on a route that is going to end up in destruction? But you don't have to, because we understand that when we submit to God, when we give ourselves to Him, when we repent and truly follow the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll be like one of these cities mentioned in Amos 4 and 7 that's going to have the rain. We'll be like what the psalmist said in Psalm 1, that you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're going to have consistent prosperity. The leaves of your tree will never wither because you are rooted in righteousness. You are planted in the truth. You are immovable in your conviction and desire for the character of Christ. Think about it this way in what James says in James 4 and 7 when he said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The power of resistance is in our submission to God. Then he says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You see, my friend, don't reign without rain. Don't have self-rule without the righteousness of God. It's a dead end, and it ends in destruction. But when you humble yourself, when you submit yourself to God, He lifts you up. He brings you to a mountaintop. He brings you to a place of everlasting peace. He brings us to a place Well, the Bible says one day we're going to rule and reign with Christ, and what a glorious day that's going to be. So let's have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let's have the ministry of the Spirit in our churches, because we're going to let Him rule and reign over us in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com, and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.